Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm very excited.
What are you excited about?
Well, I'm excited about the radio show.
Uh-huh.
And I'm excited to go to a talk at East West tonight in Mountain View.
That's right.
Featuring Sherry Huber.
Uh-huh. And she's excited about that, too.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yes, we've been on this little whirlwind mini book tour.
Yes.
It's been actually a lot of fun. I've seen a bunch of really great people, and it's been a good time.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So tonight should be that way, too. There are two great crowds in the world. Now, if people are in another place, I'm sure they would be a great crowd, too, but I think it's just because we've been in the area so long. Santa Cruz and East West Books. It's just, you know, it's just like coming home.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Wonderful. And I was reading in your new book, Life is a Tidal Wave.
Mm.
And I thought, wow.
Often feels that way, doesn't it?
Often feels that way. Yeah. And you can kind of either fight it and say, oh my God, and this is terrible, and what am I going to do? Or you can just kind of...
Learn to surf. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we have some callers.
Perfect.
I'd like to welcome Greta from Washington State. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
What's going on in Washington State?
Well, today we have beautiful weather for a change.
So you don't work for the Chamber of Commerce?
No. But I guess that kind of just feeds right into Michael's opening line about life being like a tidal wave, because often here, tidal wave seems to be coming down from the sky.
Right. And it's harder to surf under those
circumstances. It is, because that is just kind of collapsing the whole thing down in.
Uh-huh. Of course, so, you do have all that greenery.
Yeah, and then we sort of get green ourselves and scrape the moss off our cars and everything.
Oh, well.
But I wanted to call because I'm kind of in what I guess I see as a good news, bad news place, and I'm not quite sure that I see how to work with it.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those relationship things, so it's this piece of karma that I'm sure has been here 10,000 times. You know, it's very thick.
Mm.
It's my relationship with my significant other, but it all translates into my family of origin relationship, you know, how I was with them, and obviously then that gets down to how I am with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And... how what I, you know, so I feel like I can continue to see so many things, you know, I'll have a period of being under all that rain and all the clouds and nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden the sun comes out and things are, wow, look, I can see this, I can see that, wow, see how that works. Mm-hmm. And so some insights will arise. But then, you know, this place that I keep bumping into is just really solid.
Uh-huh.
And it feels bad, and it, you know, so there's a number of personalities reacting to it. And, of course, there are people who want to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me says, well, you know, you signed up for this for the long term, so you have such a good opportunity here to see what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And are you comfortable giving just a tiny bit of content to...
Yeah, you know, it's not about any one particular thing, but in general, you know, I continue to try to do my practice, sometimes more intensively than others, and pay attention to the way I am in the world and notice what's going on and, you know, see how maybe I can have less suffering for myself and less suffering for others. Mm-hmm. And what I see for my husband, and I have compassion for him on one hand, and, you know, my hit my boiling point on the other, is he gets to a place in his conditioning where we both have this polarization that we do, where we just go to our own corner and stay there, and there's not any relating going on. And with him, you could go to the ends of the earth. You know, he's not interested in meditating. He doesn't want to talk about it, and I can't talk about it in a way that doesn't make him feel bad. So
not angry, but just feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, anger is a cover for him for everything. But if I say, you know, gosh, you know, you might look at doing this way, or maybe, you know, maybe you could see what would be good for you in this. It's like, yeah, I hear you, but I'm going to just go do, you know, what I want to do is quit. What I want to do is get away from it. I just, you know, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to feel that. I don't. So it's hard for me because, you know, I can still see my own insights and see how I'm doing things, but then I'll get to the edge where I think I'm just projecting so many things onto him about what's wrong with how he is.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So does it feel like you've expanded your acceptance and tolerance for your own conditioning, and then it kind of, the intolerance slips over into him?
Yes, and I feel like in turn I've expanded my acceptance of him. But at what point does that just get to, well, oh, it's okay if he never does anything around the house, like a, you know, like a kid, he never picks up after himself, or, you know? So there's a place where I feel like I'm not being honest with myself, because I'm just saying, oh, whatever, I should just accept that's how it is.
Now, this can sound like problem solving, but I don't. That's not where I'm going with it. I'm asking this as a clarification.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't clean up around the house. He doesn't pick up after himself.
I'm just using a generalization. That's not always true. But let's just say I've asked him to do some things, and then he just goes and doesn't do them.
Okay. And so, right, so this is theory.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that same world of theory, would he then pay for someone to come in and do it?
Potentially.
Uh-huh. Okay. Because that's really significant, isn't it? I mean, if for instance, he said, I don't want anything to do with the house. You know, I don't want anything to do with shopping, cleaning, cooking, none of it. And I don't want you to have to do all of it either.
Right.
So how about if you do as much as you want to do, and then I'll pay for my share?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be acceptable to you?
Would it be acceptable to me, just in the world of theory?
Yeah, because what I'm trying to get at is it really concrete stuff that is having an impact on your life that you have no ability to influence, or is it more an attitude thing where there, at some level, it's just intolerable to you that somebody is this way?
Yeah, so that's a good place to look, because it's not just the material things. It's not just how it happens or doesn't happen. It's that we can't negotiate that place. So,
uh-huh.
For example, you know, we can't buy a nice dining room set because, well, we don't need one. And this is just so much like my family of origin and how I didn't deserve whatever it was that I wanted.
Yeah, so if we go with that one, so you want a new dining room set, and you could buy it for yourself.
I could buy it with my money for myself, and that would all be fine. But I can't negotiate that place where we can get to a mutual agreement that, yeah, I don't want it as much as you want it, but I'm okay with us buying it.
Uh-huh.
And because it will make you happy kind of thing, you know, because I see that and I want to support you in having that thing you want, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. There's none of that going on.
It doesn't feel like it.
Uh-huh.
It certainly doesn't feel like it when he's in this particular place. I feel like I don't even exist.
And that's that place where then there's no talking about the process either.
Right.
And so when you two get into this place, does it feel like really you might as well be on your own, because you kind of are anyway?
Yes, and it feels like we've been here thousands of times before, and it's just stuck.
How do you get out of it? Because I can only guess that you must spend some of your time happy and glad that you're married.
Yeah.
how do you move into that place?
Well, this is what I have in the past always just said, we have to do something different than this. It comes from me. I feel like, you know, I get to a point where I can't take it anymore. But this is this cycle. You know, we go around and around and around, and we come back here. And what I'm wondering is, how do we get back here? Because when we finally go and, say, go to a counselor and sit down for a couple sessions, we feel better. We agree that it's better. We're communicating. But then it all just drops away.
Yeah.
Whether his conditioning or my conditioning or a conspiracy of conditioning.
Right. Well, you know, now you have hit every person land.
Right.
Right, because that's just it. I mean, we make a plan for something, so I realize that drinking enough water every day, whatever I decide that is, really makes me feel good. You know, all the statistics say, survey after survey, oh, I feel so good drinking all this water. And then I stop. Okay? And the content is endless.
Right.
And when we involve another person, of course, we're not just doubling the problem. Whatever the exponential, is that the the word? Yeah, which is what you're experiencing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering, and I think that this is the thing that you're wondering, how do you make the change for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Such that you have what you want, and if he wants to come along and be happy too, that's great. If he doesn't want to come along and be happy, that's fine. You're already happy.
Mm. Yeah, because I'm... So, one of the things I know is, you know, I've stayed in this relationship because at different times I was really ready to say enough, sometimes because of my stuff, sometimes because of his stuff, but I've seen through so much of my stuff by being in this place.
Right.
That as it gets more uncomfortable, you know, I just keep wondering, am I doing the... Of course, I keep wondering, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Am I being the good person? Am I, you know...
Well, now, of course, that slides into another thing, right? So, do you have the opportunity in this relationship to go beyond suffering?
Right.
Absolutely. Are you doing that because that's what you want to do, because you get it that this is as good a place as any? Wherever you go, you're going to attract the same thing. It's your family of origin. It's your conditioning. Blah blah blah. You're gonna face it right here. Make a stand and end it. Or are you staying because it's the right person, good person, thing to do? And you just have to, you know, grit your teeth and hunker down and survive it. Because if that's the motivation, I'd encourage you to leave.
Right.
If it's the previous, I would encourage you to stay. For as long as you choose to stay because it is serving this purpose. You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's serving the purpose of ending suffering.
Yeah. There's nothing in my belief system that says you got married and therefore until death do us part. You know?
Right. Right.
I mean,
right.
I understand that a lot of people value that. It's not a value of mine, and so I never, when I talk to people about relationship, that's not one of the factors. I think it's a really good system for people who actually want the structure to end suffering. I think most of the time it turns into simply a way to stay stuck in karma and hate life and blame somebody else, which
right.
is not as helpful.
Right. So is there, what you just said is what I think I'm aware of and why I think I'm here, because I accept that, you know, I took the precepts and I meant them, and I accept that I really do want to end suffering, and I see how much suffering is in this place for me.
Uh-huh.
Because if I can't take care of myself here in actually a pretty, as you said, structured and protected place, where can I take care of myself?
Yeah. And so that's my encouragement. Early on when we talked about the, you know, what's really going on here? Is this simply hitting a place and saying, if you'd be different, then I would be different, which is, you know, we all know the temptation to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or is it really buying into sort of an abusive situation because that's feeding karma?
Mm-hmm.
And really looking at, you know, what do I have going about this? You know, is there any particular reason that I can't live a happy life in the same house with this man who sounds like is a pretty perfect fit for your karma?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, what are the reasons? What's stopping me from having a perfectly happy life in these circumstances? And I would encourage you to take that on as the first place to practice.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
You probably won't have to look far, because the story is probably being told to you pretty much all day, every day.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so to get really clear on that and then take up that challenge that your work is to end suffering.
Right.
Regardless. If he never budges an inch, it is your job to end suffering.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a challenge.
That's a challenge. So now you don't have to accomplish it before you check in.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to check in because I think that was where that's where I want to be going, and I feel like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's come up that I've been able to say, oh, who's got that going about that? Who's saying that? Who's adopting that position?
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of sort of self-limiting things that I think are, you know, obviously part of this huge story.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times with a situation like this, habit plays such a role in that conditioning has been allowed to say these things over and over and over to you through the years.
Yes.
To the point that you don't even question them.
Yes.
You know, conditioning just rolls its eyes in his direction, and, it just kicks everything in for you to go into that story.
Right.
So it really is coming back to the present, to a fresh place.
Right.
Of looking at this.
Well, I wanted to put a plug in for one of the books that you recommended in one of your emails, that Train Your Mind, Change Your Brain.
Uh-huh.
I did get through it. I didn't think they went far enough in the change your brain part, because there's a lot of training that we do that they didn't talk about.
That's right.
But one of the things that was really helpful to me is just one of the kind of studies that they described there. And that kind of set some of the, you know, about attachment theory was the one.
Uh-huh.
So that really just kind of started to clarify some things for me. The chapter was called Blaming Mom, which
right.
was totally appropriate.
Right. Blaming Mom, then marrying her.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it set me on this awareness of how much it helps me step back. You know, I don't really want to get hooked in the psychology, but in a way it just gives you a little distance from the whole identified place of suffering in this piece of karma.
Yeah. 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 Which is it's key. We got to do it.
Yes.
Mhm. All right.
Very much.
Let us know how it progresses.
I will.
Thanks, Greta.
Thank you, Michael and Sherry both.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break now, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Next on Open Air, in the second half of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome William from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening, William.
Good evening, Sherry. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
It's very interesting. Actually, at the moment, saying that feels kind of good because I'm looking at it as interesting rather than miserable.
Yes.
and I know you pointed that out to me, so it's taken a while for me to sometimes see it that way. But it's weird. Just calling in right now, it actually felt interesting, and I feel less identified than I normally do when I call in.
Uh-huh.
But I guess two things I wanted to say. In many ways, I'm calling in to stay in contact because one thing I'd like to say, and this is something that I know conditioning never really wants me to pay attention to, is kind of gratitude. So I thought I'd start by just saying really how grateful I am for this radio show, you know, the work you've done, and in many ways this radio show and the archives has been a support during an extremely difficult time for me. This year has been really rough, and I've found a way to be able to listen to a show, you know, an archive show, at least, you know, five a week, you know, usually one a day.
Oh, wow.
And kind of the inundation of, it's like a moment in the day where I can really kind of be reminded.
Yes. Well, and it's really important because it's what you started off with. It gives you an extended period of time in which you have the opportunity to disidentify.
Right.
And I would guess it'd be very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult, for a person to listen to an entire show and stay completely identified.
Yeah, I find, actually the way where I'm working at the moment allows me this kind of, I have a facility to be able to actually, you know, I'm alone, working alone a lot, so I can just be having this on in my little MP3 player playing away while I'm doing work, and a lot of times it's the thing I look forward to, especially some of these mornings that I'm waking up and you know, pretty rough. I really look forward to that hour. Sometimes I'll even replay the same show just to kind of to hear again, because I often hear the things differently the second time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, of course, I encourage people in that direction a lot, you know, that to have something that we're doing all the time that is calling us back to the present.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's wonderful to spend an hour a day in that kind of remembering and that conversation. And that leaves you 23 in which conditioning has the best opportunity to be all you're focused on.
Right.
Yeah. So I would encourage you that and more.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to inundate myself as much as possible because, in fact, this past year has been very challenging, extremely challenging in many ways, and yet there's a qualitative difference since kind of paying attention to this practice and it opening up a new way. And one other thing, I guess this is sort of a gratitude thing that, again, I normally wouldn't allow myself to say, but...
Conditioning would not allow you to say.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That I that I identify with that is conditioning, but it is, let's see, how would I... this is really the first winter, fall and winter, that I've gone through since I first started. I guess it was about, 99 or 2000, probably 99, that I sort of was termed clinically depressed, and especially during the winter months, it didn't consistently do it, but, you know, went on antidepressants, and sometimes went off in the summer times, but usually had to go back on in the fall, late fall, winter, and maybe sometimes even stay on through the summer. But this is the first year since then that I've made it through a winter without antidepressants. And
good
so
for you.
I forget that I'm not on them, but I realize I made it through.
Yeah, and you credit your ability to be with yourself and take care of yourself with that success.
Yeah, and I think realizing that this practice has really been a major support in helping me do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
not that we're saying people shouldn't take antidepressants or we're idealizing not or any
right,
of that sort
right.
of thing, but just that realization that you have the ability to be with yourself through bad times in a way that is enough, that you being with you and taking care of you is enough to accomplish the job. That's huge.
And there's that, and I don't know if this I don't quite understand, I guess, how to categorize. And one thing I'm realizing is that I really don't understand a lot, maybe don't need to. But
we really don't need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's like, I don't know about where you are, but here, spring is just insane, and everything is in bloom and gorgeous and leaves and, I don't understand all of that.
Mm.
And I wouldn't waste a minute trying to. I'd rather just be out there enjoying all the color and the smell of the air and the sound of the birds. I don't need to understand it.
Yeah, and I think that also, I've had that experience just these last few days, and actually the last couple weeks of this, I guess maybe last couple days of this sense of not understanding something and it being okay.
Yeah.
And it's around, this is sort of an indication, I see it as both good and extremely hard. I mean, the conditioning sees it as really bad, but I have kind of come to a place recently where I kind of just feel, it's sort of like I admitted to myself that my conditioning just, I just can't, it's like my life isn't working, and my conditioning...
It will hardly let you complete the sentence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, okay, I need more support, or I want more support.
Yeah.
So I've just, in the last few weeks, with lots of ups and downs, I decided to sign up for the deepening practice.
Oh, good for you. Hey, and do you do the reflective listening buddies?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes,
because that's
do.
Another good one, isn't it?
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. And I've been realizing, first of all, that my conditioning has gone haywire in the process of making the decision to do that.
Oh, yes.
And one thing that guess comes to mind, too, is, like, wondering if, I mean, it's really gone haywire. And then a few little maybe phrases I've heard you say, or in the practice it's been said, you know, that conditioning will, you know, it'll eventually go too far. And I'm wondering, it feels like it might be getting to the point where it's starting to go too far.
Yeah, good. Yeah, where it becomes crystal clear that it's not trying to take care of you. Its only concern is for itself, and your unhappiness is its happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you start, you know, it wants you out there, preferably in bad relationships, in jobs that you hate, living where you don't want to live. That's, you know, that's the juicy life for conditioning.
That's what's going on. That's what's happening in my life.
And so when you start making decisions that are actually going to take care of you, it starts getting hysterical.
It really has.
That, in fact, you know, for me, that's a good way to be able to tell when we're going in the right direction. You know, if conditioning starts getting hysterical, we can know that this is a very good thing for us to be doing.
Yeah, that's one thing I think that helped me push through this, because it is not, I mean, it's not like I just said, oh, that sounds like a good thing to do, I'm going to do this. It's been torturous to get myself to the place where I'm actually, you know, today I actually even finally paid for it, because it was kind of trying to keep me from doing that.
Right. You know, I wish, of course, that everybody could call in who's in that same place. You know, oh, that sounds great. I would really love to do that. And conditioning says, yeah, I bet you would, but you're not going to.
Yeah.
Here are the reasons why. I suspect that there is a ton of folks stuck in that same place. And then, of course, conditioning, you know, beat you up for being weak. And being weak, if you sign up, being a person who needs that kind of jumbo. And then if you don't sign up, it tells you you're a coward for not having done it, you know, after it's made sure that there's no way you're going to be able to do it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's ugly.
I think I beat it to the punch on this one, though, I hope, unless some reason I'm waitlisted or something, but hopefully not.
I bet not. I bet we can manage to squeeze you in.
Oh, thanks. It didn't want to hear that, but... I'll accept that right now and be happy about it.
All right. Well, keep us posted.
I will.
Because it's going to heat up as the, you know, this next month. It's going to be big.
Yeah, it's already been big. I mean, some of the decisions that it feels like it has to make, like with how to approach my job, how to approach my family, how do I afford this. Everything's been going haywire. But it's sort of like, you know what? I guess it's happening anyway.
Right.
And
yeah.
I don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand it. I'm just doing it.
That's right. Just riding the wave.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, William. Take care.
Yeah, thank you, Michael, too, as well.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, William. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have three more callers.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Jennifer from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi. I was connecting a lot with what you were just talking about with the last caller, because I also am trying to do the deepening practice, although not until November. And that's actually my experience was going through a lot of what was discussed, kind of that, you know, oh my gosh, fighting against the conditioning of, you know, good, responsible people just don't go take off for a month to a monastery and whatever, all this stuff.
It's too bad, too, because, you know, it's so not true. Actually, that is what good, responsible people would do, but, you know, we just miss the opportunity to get that into society, that information.
Yes. Yeah, so, but then after I did sign up and I talked to my boss and my family and all those kinds of things, I had this period of a couple of weeks of just joy. I just have, I don't know that I've ever experienced that, or it's been a really long time. Anything could happen, and I was just having fun with it. And I think it felt so good to be saying, you know what, this is what my heart wants to do, and I'm going to make this possible, and I want that for everybody else out there, too. And it was a really, really neat place. Mm-hmm. And then it ended. we got, at my work, a really significant funding cut, and I could kind of watch the whole thing happen. You know, I saw that, okay, I can still be having a good time, even in this difficult situation. And then I watched, you know, all of the coworkers getting really miserable, and, you know, it sort of seemed like the thing to do and the familiar place to go to was to be miserable, because, you know, it almost seemed like I couldn't show up to work having a good time when that was going on. And
Everybody going to lose their jobs? Is that what it is?
Well, we don't know. I mean, probably yes, some people will. I mean, I don't know. We don't know how bad it's going to be yet, and we don't know what we're going to be able to pull together to try to make it through. So it's in that crazy time right now of what's going to happen with this. So,
but and people aren't seeing it as an exciting opportunity.
No, yeah. Uh-huh. Right, yeah. So I kind of watched myself, you know, with all that, and eventually I did sort of give in and get miserable and sort of do what everybody else was doing, and it seemed more,
join,
you know,
the team.
What?
Be a part of the team.
Yeah, right. Be miserable for the team and all that. So I don't know. I've just been watching that whole thing, and then all the resentments and stuff coming up now. I mean, as it is, it's a nonprofit human service kind of place, and we're actually, most of us are paid to work part-time, but it's really a full-time job, and, you know, now the expectation is to put in, you know, even more time that we're not really paid for. But yet, you know, I also have the opportunity to take a month and go do this training. I have this flexibility, and so far, if I get to keep the job, I get paid well enough that I can, you know, live comfortably. It's not getting me rich, but it's good in a lot of ways. So I've just been trying to.
And you're doing something that you feel good about.
I do. When I don't get frustrated with that kind of a system. I mean, it's like we help. I mean, it's free GEDs and English as a second language. It's stuff that I think is really an important service, and it's so disheartening to see this kind of a funding cut for it. So.
Oh well, we need to buy bombs.
Right. Yeah.
We have to keep our priorities straight.
Yeah.
We cannot be indulging these frivolous activities.
I know. And I've tried not to go there too much either, because, wow,
helpful,
I could certainly,
it?
Yeah, I could go down that road and, oh, my God, you know. So, just trying to keep finding the person who wants to go to work and finding a balance of, you know, how much of, you know, sort of unpaid time feels okay to put in and, I don't know, trying to look at all this. And I did get really sucked down into some despair for a while, and then I got sick, and I noticed how conditioning really took advantage of that, and was throwing me a lot of different stuff.
When you're down, that's the...
Yeah, kick you when you're down, totally.
Yeah,
it was, it was coming up with all the stuff that I haven't heard in a while that I used to really fall for, and it was sounding kind of believable. But I listened to a couple radio shows. I agree with what everyone else has said, and want to thank you both for the archives and making it available. I listened to some, and I caught one where you were talking to someone about, this karma that's showing up doesn't have anything to do with you. You can choose to be the person who's going to say, there's suffering here, and I'm just going to stay with it and stay until this person is free. And that was great to hear. I thought, wow, maybe I don't need to take this personally. Maybe this doesn't have anything to do with me. And I know the making of bombs doesn't have anything to do with me. And, you know, maybe I can just, disidentify and come from that place. So.
In that place of every moment is your best opportunity to embrace everything in compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, that's, to me, that's That's always true. It's always our best opportunity. And there are certain life circumstances like these conditioning wants us to believe make it impossible to turn to compassion. And yet, as soon as we get the hang of it, we realize, oh, no. These are my best reminders. These are actually the times when I tend to wake up and come to, because I really need compassion.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think all of us in that workplace right now need compassion. And, you know, as much as being miserable for the team sort of seemed like part of the way to go, I mean, I think if I can be, you know, offer some positives in the workplace, that's really going to be helpful to me and everyone around me. So, I don't know, I just had a chance tonight to call. I usually have to work, and because I was sick, I wasn't at work, so I wanted to call in and just kind of say all this.
You have another benefit of being sick.
Yeah, right.
Not only do you get to rest up and have a little time
off. I'm able to finally call the radio show,
yeah. Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even possibly with, you know, without slipping into Pollyanna or Goody Two-Shoes, you know, to kind of get together with people and do some brainstorming about what might we do. What might we do so that we turn this into a benefit for us instead of something, you know, we're already working hard, we're already doing a lot, and then this happens. Doesn't seem right that these people should be punished when they're working so hard and doing so much good. So how can we turn these circumstances into something that really take care of these good, hardworking, loving, sincere people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really want to go with that.
Yeah. All right, well, let us know what you plan.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome. Glad you're feeling better.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, looks like we have about 10 minutes or so left, and we have two more callers.
All right.
I'd like to welcome John from Los Angeles. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Good evening.
I've succeeded in my goal.
What was your goal?
My goal was I've been trying to call in for about 2.5 months.
And you got through.
Yeah, that's it. I'm happy.
Good. Now, if that ever happens to you again, you just say, look, guys, I've been trying to call in for 2.5 months. Could I get a little farther up in the queue?
No, it's been really actually interesting because I've been wanting to call in, and week after week, one circumstance or another has just sort of prevented it from happening, and I've had to kind of go, oh, okay, well, there'll be another time. But I've been wanting to check in and sort of just get a little guidance in terms of my practice.
Good. What's going on with it?
Well, that's such a good question. You know, in general, I've in the past I've called in, and as part of my practice and sort of guidance with you, I talk about what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a lot of the content sort of based issues about what's wrong.
Yeah.
And more in practice, I'm sort of seeing my life being really similar to when I sit, which is, I the wave, which you were talking about earlier. And sort of a sense of letting go and kind of returning to presence and my breath. And I have to say, for quite a while, things have been pretty right.
Mm-hmm.
And what I notice is subtle grumblings that occur that sort of are about something's wrong, but nothing specific.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have a lot of content which you're familiar with about my health issues and you know, being a musician and all those things that are great stories, but they don't quite entertain me as much as they used to.
Ooh, that's kind of a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, they catch my... Well, actually, I guess if I were to be really clear, the last practice we did was really about, you know, directing the focus of my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've been practicing since I saw you last. And I have, you know, mixed results on that, obviously. But I notice that when I can direct my attention, that I'm not quite so caught in the stories as easily.
Yeah.
But there is this subtle thing that's going on for me where even if I'm not caught or I do get caught and I find my way of disidentifying, there's this subtle undertone carrying of, it can't be this easy. It just, you know.
Oh, God, don't you love that?
You know?
Yeah, you have been working and working and working on this for years, and then you get to the place where you can actually do it and reap the benefits, and the voice says, it can't be this easy.
Yeah, and it's actually quite strong I'll come back to, you know, I'm not going to, content is becoming somewhat less interesting to me. Like, I could talk to you about content, but it's sort of always the same sort of essence, which is content has distracted my attention, and my attention was actually kind of just merrily rolling along in terms of being present and enjoying my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets distracted by something, and I get caught or whatever. But even now talking to you, I'm in a good space. Things are fairly good. The same content is occurring, but I'm not quite caught in it. And there's this little grumbling in the back of my head, but is it really like this? Is this it?
Right, yeah.
And I'm not really sure where to go with that in practice other than to just keep going.
I would encourage turn your attention away from it every time it arises and look for it to get more subtle. Because, I bet you know something that's similar to that with music. You know, you practice and practice and practice and practice and practice and practice, and finally you can actually play. And then the standards go up. Well,
yeah, exactly.
If you practice more, you could play better. Well, you know, you can't play as well as
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just that same process of what can we throw in his path now?
So I'm just wanting to see if I'm hearing clearly, is that really essentially my practice, if I can only speak for myself, is that there's a constant evolving need to attend to where my attention is going to.
Yes. And what you're learning is that being aware of attention and letting that awareness guide your attention away from suffering and back to where you want to be is what you want to be doing.
Yeah. It's subtle. The subtlety is like sometimes I feel this is a strange, these are the things that are coming up right as I'm speaking to you. Sometimes it feels selfish. There's that commentary.
Oh, yes.
Or guilty pleasures.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like, I feel good. Like, this is, I mean, I know my body hurts, but, you know, I feel good today. It's a good day. Or, I just made the second CD, and it's called Again and Yet Again, and I know you know where that's from. And it's a really beautiful, with some of the best musicians on the planet. We did this, right? And I'm happy.
Eager to hear it.
Yeah, I'm excited and I'm happy, and but there's a part of me that goes, well, should I stop? Should I stop being happy? I shouldn't be too happy.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be too excited, because then what?
Yeah. And again, now I do know a little bit about your life, and so I'm going to bring it back to something very familiar. If you had, say, for instance, a young person in your life who said things to you like, well, aren't I just being too happy? You know, I mean, life can't really be that easy, can it? I mean, shouldn't I be worried or nervous about that? I mean, shouldn't I be, what would you say?
Well, I would direct his attention to the obvious fact that he doesn't really have that experience. That's not necessarily true, and that he could look to something being different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately for me, he doesn't have that experience, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if he started, it would be alarming.
Yeah.
Because it would just be so clearly, obviously false.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you would be encouraging him to turn his attention away from that and back to the things in his life that our gratitude and joy and compassion and kindness and expression and receiving and those kinds.
And those things are the ones that get obscured by content for me. That's what I'm finding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Content.
And they have a tremendous pull. The content, the story, has a tremendous pull on attention, which is why we learn to use them as reminders to come back to where we want to be.
Which is why I wanted to call today the reminder aspect.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's an, we've talked about this, there's an isolating quality to my practice, which I'm working with. But it's to find reminders is actually another challenge.
Yes,
to,
because yes, it is.
I don't know how to describe it, but when I'm sitting and I something notices that I've drifted away. I don't know what that something is, but something notices, and then I go back to counting, you know, one or two,
mm-hmm.
one,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they get to three or four. But sometimes, you know, that whatever the quality is it's noticing is going away, I'd like to sort of incorporate into my daily life more.
Yes. Yes. Which is what happens as we train attention to attend to awareness. Awareness is attending to attention. Awareness is aware of attention and what attention is doing and where it's going. Attention is being taught to attend to awareness. And the more we practice that, the more it happens.
Yeah.
And the more it happens, the more we remember to do it. It's just like egocentric karmic conditioning, only blessedly, it's the reverse.
Anti-EKC.
Anti.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you're doing well. I'm glad you're happy. It is that easy. I think you should just enjoy it.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Sherry. Take care.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, John. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we're near the end of our show. Should we try to go quick with
the last?
Do
we have a couple of minutes for this person?
We have about 1 minute.
Well, maybe we should just say hello and invite this person to join us first thing next week.
Okay, so we'll talk to her for a moment?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to welcome Julie from Montreal. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Julie.
Hello, Sherry.
You've been waiting patiently on that phone for an hour.
Not quite an hour, but half an hour.
Oh, good. And will you be available next week to give us a call?
Sure.
Good, good. I think next week we'll, heaven only knows where we'll be.
Okay, so I'll call the same number next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Got a date.
Thanks a lot.
Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Bye.